Before we get rolling, there's a couple things we want to make sure we kind of be thinking about in the Word as we go. Fortunately, we have people. There are folks around here who you know that when they speak, you should be listening. You know, and Linda Palmer is among them, and we she's going to be headed out on a little trip, and we just ask if we can be praying for you as you go. Okay, good. We look forward to that. Continue as she treks down, and so Ken wanted to thank folks. I'll bring it to you right here. Okay, that way you don't have to go very far. And we've been praying for he and Jomel, and we'll continue to do that.
Amen. Good morning, LCC.
Good morning.
It's been a long time since I've held a mic. I like to hide in the booth actually, but There's two reasons I asked Sam to, if I could say a word. Number one, I want to thank this church. The last couple years have been truly difficult. And you guys have had our back the whole way. I knew that would happen. From people showing up to mow our lawn, showing up in the backyard with weed eaters and chainsaws to clear out brush and tree limbs, and a whole group. When I first started dialysis, when my kidneys failed, I wasn't driving. I'd had a stroke, and I was afraid to drive. They didn't take my license from me. They could have, but they didn't. And so now I'm able to do it on my own. But Linda, Lorraine, Christine Tate, who's not here, a whole bunch of folks made sure I got to dialysis three times a week. You guys have blessed us financially, but most importantly, I thank you for your prayers. Mm-hmm. And if you're not part of amen. It is, I know I'm crying, but it is well with my soul. God has been so good. I want to thank the men's group. I've been there so many times, and I know I could monopolize time running my mouth, but just sharing with my struggles with addiction, with severe depression. And another reason it's well with my soul, I was the one he came back for. I was in.
It's all right, buddy.
I was in such a deep, dark place. I just didn't want any more pain. I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to feel anything anymore. But God had other plans. I lay down, and I study up on the medication. I thought it would just lower my heart rate to the point that I would simply slip away, and it would even look like natural causes, so it wouldn't cause any trauma to my family, because as a police officer, my first death investigation was a suicide. And it involved a young man, a teenager, and a rifle. And he did it in his home while his family was present. And I saw the devastation that it caused in that family. Not just the physical devastation to his body, but the trauma that they had to deal with. And I didn't want my family to deal with that. So I took these pills, and I laid down expecting to just slip away. And it's not like I was trying to take a shortcut to heaven. That was not on my mind. I just wanted the pain to end. And I'm sorry, Sam. This is a little more than a minute.
Take your time, buddy.
I came to. I just laid down on the side of the bed, hanging over the bed, and I just started repenting. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And I don't know how long I was repenting. It could have been an hour. It could have been 5 minutes. I have no idea. But I came to, and I was kind of surprised. I'm like, I'm in the bedroom. And I'm alive. I'm in the bedroom. And I'll be quite honest. At first, I was a little disappointed because I didn't want to be in the bedroom. I just didn't want to be aware at all. But God had other plans. And I came to, and I sat up on the side of the bed, and I just prayed, and I said, thank you, Lord, you're not finished with me yet. And he's not. And he's got other plans, and maybe I can share with you in the future. I kind of have an idea of where he's pointing me, and I'm going to need some prayer for that. So it's just, please pray that I'm this direction I think he's pointing me in. I want to make sure that my motives are pure, that it's not about pride or ego or anything like that. I just want to make sure it's the direction he wants me to go. But Linda, God bless you. Father, we just pray that you would grant her success on her trip on the Appalachia Trail, that you would keep her safe, that you would keep her safe from any foot injuries or twisted ankles or encounters with any of bears. You may have seen, I handed her a bag when I came in. Joe Mel and I insist that she had some bear spray to take with her. Father, I just pray that all the creatures, all of your creatures that you have put on that trail are the kinder, friendly kind. Deer and whatever, you know, chipmunks. Maybe you'll meet Alvin. And just let your light shine on the trail and enjoy your time in God's nature. I'm jealous. I really am.
That's good.
But Lansdowne, I can't thank you. For some of you who may be new, you will not find a more loving and kind church body than you will right here at Lansdowne.
Amen.
So, if you're online, come visit us.
Come on now.
Check out the sermons and the teaching on YouTube. Check out Lansdowne.com, the website. And we'd love to see you walk through the front door here. Thank you, LCC.
Amen. Amen. That is so good. This is what we are a family. You know, we are member together. We are the member of the family of Christ. So, yeah, I just love this encounter. Thank you, Ken. And we love you back, man. We love you. We'll keep loving you. We'll keep fighting for relationships, right?
Yes.
No matter what. We fight for relationship. You know, if you don't want us, all right, you tell us you don't want us. But we want you. You know? Kingdom greetings to all of you that are watching online. Friends all over the place. We've got a lot of people watching this in Haiti. All throughout the week. But yeah, we actually should start sharing the link to our church. Some of our church is there, so a lot of those guys, they know English. But I also want to take some time to pray. I want you to, the person next to you, or if you're not next to somebody, I'm sure now we can hold hands, but if you don't want to hold hands, do this, you know, or do, you know, whatever you got to do. I want you to touch somebody. And I want you to pray for that person right now. And what are you going to pray? Whatever you would want that person to pray for you, I want you to lift up your voice and pray for that person right now. Come on now. Find somebody. Joe, go to Pam back. Not Pam. What's her name? Donna. Go to Donna. Find somebody. All right, you guys. Just pray for... How do you pray? However you would want somebody to pray for you, that's what I want you to pray for that person. For instance, if you would want the person to bless you, you'd say, God, bless so-and-so. Keep him. You know, God, give him strength. God, maybe he needs healing. I'm just helping you out, okay? And then when you're done, I want the other person to pray for you. The same thing. All right? When you're done praying for that person, I want the other person to bless you. God, love that person. Pour your love. And as we ask that the Bible says to lay hands over each other. As we laying hands over each other, Lord, I ask that you'd refresh us with your spirit. Refresh us with your presence. We lay down our burdens. We all here, all of us here, we have burdens. We carry something. We carry something, Lord. I mean, if we would say we don't have a burden, we would be lying. You can have everything you need, but you still have issues because this is part of life. You know, so God, we ask that you would refresh us with your presence. Thank you for worship. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to enter the Holy of Holies and offer you a sacrifice of worship, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Yeah, bless this body. As we open your word this morning, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and take what belongs to Father and reveal it to our hearts. Even me, as I teach your word, God, I give you room, I give you space to open my eyes and to teach me, to correct me, to rebuke me, and to give me the tools that I need to continue to be a disciple on this earth. Father, as we continue to hold each other's hands, we pray for peace over our world. Jesus, you've promised, you said you are the peace of the world. You know, you came that the world might know peace, and you are peace. There are a lot of people out there, they don't have peace. They're troubled, they can't sleep, they have anxiety. Oh, Lord, right now we pray for our world. We pray that Jesus, somehow they would come to know you. They would come to know your love, Father. They'd come to know your love, Lord God. Your love is deep. Your love is wide. Your love is strong. And your love, that's what leads us to repentance. God, we pray for a new revelation of your love, even over the community in Lynchtown and Virginia Beach, the areas we represent. Some of us come from Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, Suffolk, wherever we're watching online, God. And a lot of people that are watching that are maybe in different states, God. We ask Jesus that they would experience your love. Oh, God, your word says nations will rise against nations as violence work itself out of the world. However, Lord, we understand that you are the Prince of Peace. Before you return, we will hear of wars, nation rising against another nation. But let not our hearts be troubled. And we are not going to let our heart, even in the midst of us being afraid, because, you know, we are afraid. We worry sometimes, but we lay down our worries and our burdens to you, Father, and we thank you that you are a good Father. Overwhelming the song we sing, man, you come after us. You come after us. And this morning, again, you came after us. Thank you for being in our midst, and we honor your name, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. And if you agree, you said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I pray this morning that you would be, yes, be, okay? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Yes, be. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad because our life. There's a Bible verse in Psalm. It says, why so downcast, O my soul? Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Oh, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God and bless the Lord, oh my. And if you look, if each of us here would look, you would know that you have more than 10,000 reasons to be glad. You have more reasons to be excited than to be gloomy, to be discouraged, you know, to feel depressed. We do. Remember, I've been talking about the enemy who is after our relationship. And the other day I had a question, and I don't have time to do this, man, next, but sometimes I'm gonna try it. I had a crazy idea. I will try it, okay? I warned you. I wonder if you remember my sermon last week. You don't have to answer. I wonder if they remember what I spoke about last week. I actually wonder if, are they applying it? I mean, my hope is that you are. Because then I would feel like I'm not achieving my goal if every Sunday I come here or during the week when we talk or especially on Sundays, because it takes me lots of time to pray and figure out what the Lord wants me to say. And sometimes I'm like, okay, God, am I supposed to be talking about this? Yes, okay, let's keep going. But how are you applying God's word in your lives? You know, and I talk to you about the biblical foundation of relationship. Can I control this up here, guys? Is it ready? We're still learning, all right? Be patient with us. But today I want to talk to you about the importance of defining a disciple. What is a disciple? Question number one. Question number two. Are you a disciple? What is a disciple of Christ? Are you a disciple of Christ? I mean, this is not just... That's why they say never count on, put all your trust on technology. Sometimes they do fail you. Guess what? My iPad is not responding. And I don't have time to restart it. And all my notes are in there. Ryan, can you please bring my computer? Is this thing even responding on the computer? The importance of... Yes, he has been so kind to us. Thank you, Lord. All right, go to the first one. That's good. I might really need you guys' help this morning. Okay, the importance of defining a disciple. Question, what a disciple? Come on now, I want to hear. Yes, I want that. Okay, that's good. Man, did you go to discipleship class? That is so good, Roxy. A follower. Okay, somebody else? A student. Oh, come on now, Captain. That's so good. Somebody else? Mm-hmm. Imitator. Oh, man, Ken, that's so good. Imitator. They say your kids imitate you. So, Crosby, come up here. So let's say for the next 20 seconds, Crosby is going to imitate me. Okay? Are you ready, Crosby? All right. You have to act, stand, do whatever I do. So everybody here, they already know what imitate means. Start, all right? Come on, Crosby, you're not imitating me now. I did. But you got it, Crosby. Go sit down. Thank you. But seriously, an imitator. Come on, throw at me some other words that describe a disciple. A teacher can be also be a disciple. That's good. Huh? An example, yes. That's very good. Someone who is disciplined, that's very good. So we as a church have been called to be Christ's disciples. Yet the end of the question, for us to understand discipleship, we should understand what is a disciple. And not only what is a disciple, but what does a disciple look like? All right, let me hear you. What does a disciple look like, according to your reference? There's probably no bad answer. Okay, well, I really like this because, let's say, in our context, we're talking about Christ's disciple. So therefore, Christ's disciple should look Christ-like. And that's why in Acts, for the first time, the people in Antioch called the Christians, the followers of the way, they call them Christians. People who look like Christ. Now, were they talking about physical resemblance? Mm-mm. They were talking office, and I spent character. See, this week in our ministry school, I taught in my office, and I spent a lot of time here. I lived here a lot this week. And I taught the two of the subjects I taught was to finish or deal with conflicts in church. like people fight against, I mean, with each other. And then I also taught on Christian character. Oh, man. If we are the followers of Christ, when people look at us, they should see Christ. How do they see Christ? Can you throw at me some of characters of Christ? Christ is faithful. I'll give you one. Now, let me try the kids here. Give me some character of Christ. How do you, when you think about Christ, guys, Jesus, when you think about Jesus, what do you think? What do you know? What do you know? We know Jesus is patient. What else? You know Jesus is kind. Uh-huh. Do you know Jesus is forgiving? Come on now, Crosby. He's calm. That's right. He doesn't freak out. He doesn't panic. Oh, that's a good one. When we went out of gas, we still need gas, but don't freak out. Keep your cool. I like that. Come on, give me some. A good teacher. Come on now. Over here, give me some. Jesus, some of the characteristics of Jesus. Oh, he's humble. He's loving. He's strong. Now, when we talk about strong, we might not talking about a physically strong, but we know that Jesus was strong. He was strong in character. He was strong in his decision making. I need two more. He was, that's actually in my notes. Submissive. Obedient. He was a healer. That's right. And not only physically, he also heal people emotionally. You know, God can use you to do all that. You know, like some of the testimonies Ken shared with us this morning. You guys have ministered to him. You guys have helped him heal. You know? A lot of times we think, well, Jesus, the miracle is gone. It can happen. I've seen it. Bing, it happened. But most of the time, Jesus wants us to do our part. You know, so he can do his part. So, I am so glad we got the definition right. But now, let's go to the next slide. A disciple is one who is committed to follow Jesus. I read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus called out to them. He said, come, follow me. And I was seeing that Jesus fish for men. You see, now here in this verse, we are seeing that Jesus called the disciples to follow him. For us to be a disciple, we have to follow. We cannot call ourselves a disciple of Christ unless we are following him. And unless we are, you become like people you hang out with, right? You seriously do look alike. Kendra and I, we really don't look alike. But I tell you guys, we do look alike. Yeah, that's right. Well, it's because we spent 22 years together. Some of you spent 50, 40 years together with your mates. When you have, it doesn't matter. Whoever you spent time with, you will become like them. You will look like them. You will start talking like them. That is why when we say the gospel is not religion, it's a relationship. Because that relationship I have with Christ, what's the word? The word is deten. How do you say deten? Christ reflect on you. It's like stains, you know? Literally. The more you spend time with Christ rubs off. That's a good word too. Rubs off on you. Because since you spent time with somebody, I tell you, if you spend time with somebody that's very critical and you love that person, before you know it, watch it. You might become very critical. You spend time with somebody who's very negative, but I tell you, spend time with somebody that's positive. That's why I would encourage you to surround yourself with people that are uplifting. You don't like to pray? Find somebody who loves to pray. Be their friend. Oh yeah, be their friend. Find somebody who is on fire for the Lord. Befriend them. Guess what's going to happen? They're gonna. But if you're trying to, if you struggle in church, and all your friends, all heathen strange friends, people that are just all about the world, guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna lose interest in the Lord's work. You're gonna lose interest in the Lord's relationship with you. Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." A disciple is one who is committed to follow Jesus. A disciple is also one who is committed to being changed by Jesus. The seven words of a dying church. I tell you, when I learned this from my friend Bernie, I've heard it the first time Bernie told me that. The seven last word of a dying church. Now I'm going to add my own little stuff in it. The first dying church, the last seven words of a dying Christian, of a Christian who is dead. Oh, I don't like change. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. How did new creation happen? Change. You see, last year was 2020. And this year, if you're doing an evaluation of your spiritual life, you should be better. You should be more on fire. Remember, the enemy is always after your relationship with the Lord. Yes, we face time in life when we're discouraged. I tell you, this week, I was discouraged one day. I was discouraged this week. There's a day, I can't remember which day. I felt discouraged. I felt like, man, I felt, ugh. You know how it feels. I felt like that. You know, Kendra's been dealing with it this week. She's better yesterday and Friday, since Friday. We all face things. But you know what I do? I go to the well. It's not religion. I go to the well. When I wake up and I'm like, where's my joy? My joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I take delight in the Lord. I take delight in God's word. And I don't care if you call me crazy. Call me crazy for the Lord. I mean, if I can, listen, if I can, yes, my God is good. If I can do that, guess what? I'm going to go back to the well. What makes you dance? What makes you happy? What makes you excited? And I told you this already, and I'm going to repeat it. The Lord is exciting. Having a relationship with the Lord is exciting. It's not boring. And one of the physical evidence in a Christian disciple's life, a disciple will have joy. Because Jesus was a joyful man. He was. He was. We all face trials and tribulations. We all have stuff we deal with. But don't let the enemy steal your joy. Mm-mm. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. A disciple is also one who is being on a mission with Jesus. Jesus called them out, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for men." So therefore, that is Jesus' mission. Jesus' mission is for us to reach out to men. How do you do that? How do you fish out to men? And I tell you, we've read, last year we did something on the book of James. If you're living out loud the gospel, you will never have to tell somebody repent from their sins. Even your presence will make them uncomfortable. You see, unfortunately, the world don't like to hear the truth. Why? They say truth sounds like hate for those who don't like truth. So if you don't love the truth, if you're not nice to your parents and somebody tells you that, you're not going to like that. If you're cheating people and you know you're not supposed to, when somebody tells you that, you won't like that. If you haven't taken a shower and the person who really likes you say, "Dude, you really stink." You know, that this is a hard truth. But I tell you, if somebody tells you that, that means, first of all, they love you. You would assume they love you. But then if you haven't taken a shower, and really the body needs showers, you might not like that. But that's the truth. You just need to go take a shower. So a truth sounds like hate to those people who hate truth. Oh, I pray that God will give us a heart that loves truth. You know? And I pray that God will give us somebody, each of us here, somebody in our lives that will tell us the truth. Because that's the rough thing. You know, sometimes when we go and eat and we've got like a green leaf in your front tooth right here, and you're out there like me, I'm smiling away, you know? Having a good time. And I was talking to Roxy. Roxy never said anything. That's not true, right? Just an example. Roxy would tell me. But then I go home and I look in the mirror, what's going on? I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been, And we were with all these people, and then they didn't tell you the truth. See, that's why we need people in our lives. I tell you, a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, will not compromise the mission of Christ. A disciple of Christ will not compromise the mission of Christ. And what had happened in the past 20, 30, 40 years, the church, we've watered down the message of Christ. Oh, that's too offensive. Oh, this is, people don't want to leave. This is not, according to our culture, no, this is not. I tell you, if we're doing the church of Christ, this is the foundation for the church of Christ. The word of God is the guideline, not my personal conviction. And that's what makes the gospel so exciting. So a disciple of Christ, I told you three things. A disciple is one who is committed to follow Christ. Jesus said, come and follow me. Disciple knows how to follow Christ. He knows his life depends on it. I ask you two questions to start with. Are you a disciple? Now, that question, you need to write it in your notebooks. In your notebook, am I a disciple? And you will know. You don't have to wait tomorrow. I mean, to go sleep, to have a dream, to know if you're a disciple. If you know, if you're a disciple, right now you know. If you're following Christ, you know. Praise God if you are. If you're watching online, and maybe you're not. Maybe you are. Praise God if you are. But if you're not, what do? You repent. And come on to me. That's what he said. Follow me. Jesus said, if you love yourself, if you love your mother, your life, your father, your husband, everything else above me, more than me, you're not qualified to follow me. A disciple is one who is committed to be changed by Jesus. You see, in observing God's law, God's word is the source. God's word is the only one that tells us what a disciple looks like. A disciple is one who come to know Christ. See, now I want to look a couple of characteristics. You guys give me some of the things you said I didn't even think about them. But I choose a couple that I think that are very, very good. What are they? My next slide. To be a Christian means to be a disciple. Therefore, there are no Christians who are not a disciple. To be a disciple is to be a Christian. To be a Christian is also to be a disciple. So, if you're not a follower of Christ, you can't be a disciple. Listen to what it says. The word disciple comes from the Greek word mathes, which can be translated as all those things you told me. Students, followers, right? The word mathes means all the things you guys shared with me about who a disciple is. But also a disciple, there are three things that characterize a disciple. A disciple is rational. A disciple is someone who is able to think clearly. Because what did Jesus said in Matthew 28? It says, go and preach the gospel. Those who believe, baptize them They'll be my disciples. And then once they're baptized, teach them my laws. So a disciple is one who knows God's word. That's why I keep telling you, don't take my word for it. You got to read God's word. You got to read the word. Read your Bible. Read it. You'll never have time to read the Bible. You have to take time to read it until you develop, you create a culture, a second nature. I want to read my Bible. Oh, I do. Every day. I actually think about reading my Bible. You should too. Why? It's like eating, right? Sometimes some of us, we wake up, we're so busy, we don't think about eating. But I tell you, it'll catch up to you. I'm so busy, man, I didn't even think. By 3 o'clock, your belly's going to tell you. And then your belly, that going to send a message to your brain. That's going to tell your body, oh, I have to eat. And then you're like, all right, I'm not eating today. No problem. I give you till by 6:30. Your belly's going to go again. And then it's going to send a message to your leg saying, man, I'm weak. And if you don't feed yourself mashed potatoes or whatever you like, by 8 o'clock, you're going to be one of the grumpiest person ever in the house. Why? Because you need food. So a disciple takes time. To be a Christian means to be a disciple. Therefore, there are no Christians who are not a disciple. You see, this definition right there helps to paint a picture that can be copied and modeled. When you meet a Christian, a true Christian, there is no false Christian. You're either a disciple or you're not. That's why sometimes I suggest people, don't ever say you're a Christian. It's the world that should say, are you a Christian? People you come in contact with, if I'm going to talk about my religion, I say, hey, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I follow Jesus. And therefore, you can go in every aspect in my life to see if there is like a pattern with what I'm saying. That's the way it should be in your life. And I challenge you to continue it, keep it that way. To be a Christian means to be a disciple. There are no Christians who are not a disciple. To be a Christian is to be a disciple. There are no Christians that are not disciples. So if you're a disciple, so therefore, you must follow Christ. My next slide. A disciple is a learner of his master. You see, a disciple is a learner of her or his master. They are seeking to understand and grasp the integrity of the one to whom they obey or they tend to follow. So because I'm a follower of Christ, I want to follow him. So if I want to follow Christ, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I need to know who Christ is. So therefore, Jesus, he lived 3 years on this earth with his disciples. Jesus is not here. The Holy Spirit is the representative of Jesus Christ. But we have the Word of God. So if I never read the Gospels, how would I know Jesus? Come to church, listen to the sermon, preacher. That's not enough. And the mentality was, especially from the Catholic perspective, it's like the priest, me here, I go to God, and then I come to you. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus came, made a way for us, gave us access beyond the veil, saying, all of us, we have direct communication with Father. That's why I'm here to tell you. I have the same communication with Father, and you do. So if you take advantage of that line, open line with you and God, you will know God as much as I know him. As a matter of fact, as a preacher, if I go to the Word of God to just preach sermons, guess what? it doesn't work. Because then I can just come here and tell you informations. But then if I'm allowing the Word of God to transform my heart, then when I teach you from a place of experience. A disciple allow Jesus to change him. A disciple allow the Word of God to change him. The more I read the Word of God, when I realized my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, guess what I'm not going to do? Nobody need to tell me because I read it. I'm a follower of Christ. The Word says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so therefore I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to smoke. Why? Because I love my lungs. I'm not going to be drinking alcohol all the time because I love my lungs. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm not going to be a fornicator. Living with your girlfriend or boyfriend before you married. I'm not going to do adultery. Why? Because it's just, I am a follower of Christ. I'm not going to backstabbing somebody. Why? This is it, man, dad. I'm going to honor my mom and dad. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to respect them. I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to love my sister. When the world's going crazy, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a big beacon of peace, not bacon. You can be a beacon of peace if you want to. That's going to be a good piece of bacon. But yeah, you remember that one. Be a beacon of peace. This might be the only thing you remember today. That is so good, bacon. Oh, I tell you, English. Thanks for your patience. Are you learning something? So a disciple is a learner. He learns from his master. And I'm challenging you today. Learn from the Lord. Every day. Learn from him. Listen to him. Guys, read your Bibles. Kids. I tell our kids all the time. Are you reading your Bible? I ask Ryan all the time. Are you reading? Are you feeding yourself? Are you reading? Because you get to a place when the kids are little, yes, you teach them. But when they become 16, 17, you know, you can't force them anymore. I mean, when you're sitting around the table, sure. When they're 5, 6 years old, you know what? You shove everything to them. This is your time. You do it, parents. But I tell you, when they're like teenager, you guys' age, you need to understand. You need your personal relationship with Jesus. Your mom and dad, what they have, that's theirs. If you don't have yours, and more than ever, guys, you need it. We all do. So read your Bibles. Fall in love with God's Word. If you read something you don't understand, go to dad. Go to mom. Or call me. Or call grandpa. We'll help you. Amen? Amen, adults? That's good. Oh, I tell you, a disciple of Christ takes on the thought, the pattern, affection, and conviction. I want to end up with this one. I'll finish next week. A disciple of Christ takes on the thought patterns, the affection, and conviction of the Lord of Jesus Christ as shown within the Bible. That's why I love being a disciple of Christ. Because Christ was a revolutionary too. So don't be afraid of people disliking you because you're a Christian. It will happen. A lot more people died before. I read a verse yesterday. It says, do not be afraid if someone can kill your physical body. As a matter of fact, be afraid. Be afraid of the one that can kill your soul and your body. So therefore, we're going to respect everybody. Everybody can have their opinion. But guess what? I'm a believer of the gospel. I'm a follower of Christ. I love Jesus. And you know, the first thing when I love Jesus, people are going to experience in my interaction with him, it's love, not judgment. Because God's love, that's what's leading us to repentance, not God's judgment. And you and I need to understand that the world out there, because they don't like truth, when you tell them the truth, they're going to think you hate them. Oh, I tell you, it is a beautiful time for us to be alive. But it's not any different than in the 60s and in the 70s. Even though I wasn't born yet in the 60s, but I heard stories. I heard stories. And it seems like history, it is repeating itself. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word this morning as I invite Dan to come up. Father, I sow your seed. And we choose today to continue to be a devoted disciples to you. We'll follow you, Lord God. We will walk after you. We want to do exactly how you do it. We want to walk like you walk. We want to think like you think. That's why, Lord, we ask that this morning that you would create in us a heart that would follow after your own heart. God, I thank you for what you're doing here in Lansdowne Community Church. I thank you that you have found place and room to challenge us and to keep us in line with your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.